Welcome back to Ryer on YouTube. This time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 27-25 win over the South Carolina Gamecocks Saturday afternoon at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa. Third straight game for the Crimson Tide where really came down to the final seconds, the final plays. This time Alabama made just enough. Almost ironically, we see this Alabama defense make a stop essentially in the same area, same end zone that we saw it from Xavien Brown against the Georgia Bulldogs a couple weeks ago. Even that had sort of some frantic understories or potential for some drama there, as there was question about whether or not Damani Jackson could have taken a knee with that ball in the end zone. Was he wise not to and bring it out? I know Kalen DeBoer in his post-game press conference just listened in on that. Kalen didn't seem, at least at the time of his comments post-game, to think that it was a ball that Damani couldn't kneel down, because Kalen's comments were more in regard with, Damani needs to kneel that down. And I'll say this, I know a lot of people are going to jump on Kalen for those comments in the post game. He's on the sideline. He can't really see on the field exactly where Damani is when he caught it. Did he establish possession? Did his momentum carry him into the end zone? I'll just say in real time, I was of the belief that it would have been a touchback had he kneeled it down. Now, when you look at it in slow-mo and you really slow it down, that's when it gets a little bit hairy in terms of whether or not that would have been rewarded with a touchback or potentially a game-tying safety for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And at that point, nothing would have surprised you, right? I mean, you wouldn't have been surprised if, in fact, that had been the case, because, boy, end-of-half situations, first half, catastrophic for Alabama. It's not the first time we've seen that this year, by the way, either. Yet a quarterback makes some really critical mistakes, not only at the end of the first half, but also in the fourth quarter as well with the interception in the end zone. It wasn't Jalen Milroe's best day. He still accounts for, what, 3 touchdowns in the game? So you give him credit for that. But in some ways, you saw some early 2023 Jalen, and I get it. I mean, he's getting some pressure at times. But you're at a point where you can't see ghost. The safety to me was Jalen seeing ghost, because the protection, when he decided to bail on it, did not look like it was collapsing. So I'll give Jalen this. I mean, when Alabama needed it, he came back and made the plays he needed to play. I give Nick Sheridan credit for keeping Jalen involved in the run game when Alabama really needed it. I know the narrative the last couple of weeks has been got to get these running backs more involved. Well, you look at Jam Miller and Justice Haynes in terms of production against South Carolina. I think it was 20 carries for 68 yards between them. So they did get opportunities, but it wasn't always there for the running backs. I didn't like what I saw in the game when you had a chance to really affect the clock and take the clock, as we've heard it called in the past around the program in Tuscaloosa. That's when your guys have to be physical and finish runs with physicality. Now, look, there could be some things going on from a health perspective that we don't necessarily know about that impacts that. But I'm just saying, in watching Alabama football, especially over the previous decade and a half, in that situation, guys were looking to finish with authority and not looking to continue to work the perimeter and even bring the sideline into play, right? And when you're trying to take the clock there. So, all 3 phases, still a long, long way for this football team to go. If you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. You can jump into the chat and we'll talk about it right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us. We'd greatly appreciate it. Turn on those notifications. That way you are alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you'd hit us with a thumbs up, a like, we'd appreciate that as well. And look, still, when you think about the defense, I know a lot of you are going to talk about third downs. It's hard not to. South Carolina came into the game converting 30% of its third down opportunities. On Saturday, converted 7 of 15. Now, Kalen was quick to point out in the post game that 5 of those came on one possession. And I know it's easy to just think, man, third downs are getting converted. We saw 12 of 18 from Vanderbilt last week. I think that one of the things that I'm probably more worried about with this defense is that just seems like it's a lot of second and third and manageables, you know, a lot of third and ones, third and twos. And then on top of that, you're not exactly a stone wall on defense when you're in those situations. You still got guys catching guys, and saw it from Rocket Sanders from South Carolina on Saturday, turning short yardage situations into either first downs or touchdowns. It was interesting from a defensive perspective that we did see a lot of Justin Jefferson in the game with Jihad Campbell and with Deontay Lawson. We had seen that, you know, earlier in the season, maybe more so in third and long or obvious passing situations, but we saw it throughout the game on Saturday. So I'm guessing that's an attempt that at least in Kane Womack's mind to get his best 11 on the field. So he's obviously thinking Justin Jefferson, who's been injured the last couple of games, is one of those 11 right now. So trying to get him on the field. But again, just too many mistakes. And, you know, Alabama tried to gift it to South Carolina. And South Carolina, who largely outplayed, I would agree with that sentiment, tried to give it right back to Alabama and eventually did, you know. After Jalen throws the interception, to get that gift of a fumble right there, basically in the red area, outer red, I guess it was, you couldn't ask for anything more than that when you're a struggling football team and it's looking like perhaps you're going to drop back-to-back SEC games in the first time. And I don't know. It just had a real 2006 feel to it on Saturday. Doesn't mean this team still can't achieve and reach its potential, because I still think the pieces are still there, but we're 6 games in the season and we're seeing fundamental issues with this team. Doesn't tackle well enough. Too many times on the back end of the defense. And you saw this in the game again, even in what? The fourth quarter on Saturday. You got safeties looking at corners. Like, you got him or I got him. You're supposed to have him. I'm supposed to have him. Still seeing too much of that. We're 6 games in now. You know, it's not September anymore. These things shouldn't be happening like they're happening. You shouldn't be fundamentally struggling when at key spots of this football team, you are veteran oriented, right? You know, you can't throw that red zone interception that Jalen threw, you know, into the first half. You know, you can put more of this probably on Kalen than anybody else. And I'm all for being aggressive. And I'm not for this sort of sentiment of Kalen needs to adapt to Alabama football or the way people think Alabama football needs to be played. I do think physicality is a core tenet of Alabama football. I don't care how you play it, conceptually, scheme, but at the moment of truth, your guys got to be better on the football or with the football than the other guy. In one-on-ones, with where Alabama has come over these last 17 or 18 seasons, it has to be better than Vanderbilt and South Carolina in those situations. I can't tell you with a straight face that Alabama's been better in those. It wasn't last week. And as I talked about earlier, you know, some of these third and manageables, they start with teams kind of imposing their will on early downs. I know you look at it statistically and you say, well, Travis, I mean, look at South Carolina's totals for today, you know? South Carolina ran the football 39 times for 132 yards. Now, you know, 4 of those carries for South Carolina were sacks. So that was 36 yards right off the top of the rushing total. But Rocket Sanders, which I don't really know why they call him Rocket, because I don't really see anything about his game that resembles Rocket-like speed. I think Tank Sanders I'd get more at this point in his career. But he goes 16 for 78 and the touchdown where he's met at the 2 and finishes the run in the end zone. And that may sound like I'm picking on a guy like Jahad Campbell or maybe some other guys in these one-on-ones, but it also takes me back to, if you're doing what you need to be doing as a defense and you call yourself swarm, where are the people to the football? And it's great. You forced three turnovers today. Again, at least one of those was an absolute gift. That was an unforced issue from South Carolina. Where are the people to the football? It just seems like there's too much uncertainty still halfway through the season. And it only gets realer from here because you go to Knoxville next week. And one thing I won't agree with is this sort of, well, there's no way they can win in Knoxville next week. Have you watched Tennessee lately? You know, I'll say that, and I know Tennessee tonight will just blow the doors off of Florida in Knoxville. But did you watch Tennessee last week? That wasn't a great offensive football team by any means. Now, defensively, you know, it could be problematic for this Alabama offense up there. But just sticking with this week, Andrew, the GOAT here in the comments, I'm not happy about Alabama only winning by 2 points at home against South Carolina today. Andrew the GOAT, not happy. Hey, look, take the win at this point. I mean, for where this team has been the last, what is it now? I mean, now we're talking about 10 quarters going back to the start of the third quarter of the Georgia game. You're 2-1 with the way those 10 quarters have gone. It's almost starting to feel like a glass half full when you think about how these last 10 quarters are going. I know you're not going to buy that. You've seen too much of what Alabama football has been about over these last 17, 18 seasons to buy that. And hey, I'll say this for South Carolina. In some areas where Alabama wanted to kind of exert itself with the backs in the run game, South Carolina is pretty damn good in the front seven. Not terrible. Middle of the pack in the SEC. The things that concern you are the areas where South Carolina isn't very good, but was good today against Alabama. And I think about Lenora Sellers. He turned it over. Thankfully for Alabama, he turned it over. But he completed over 70% of his passes against that Alabama defense. He, you know, had an opportunity on the two-point play to hit a guy in the corner to tie it at 27. That went by the boards. I'll say this for Q Robinson. He had the big face mask penalty there late in the fourth quarter. But when I think about closers on defense for Alabama right now, Q's probably as high on the list as anybody. You know, at least I noticed him. At least he was disruptive. At least he was on the cusp of closing the game out. So a lot of things still need to improve. And not just defensively. I know what makes it hard too, when you can want to run your backs, but when one of your best players on offense, Jaden Roberts, is in and out of their lineup, and I give Jaden a ton of credit, because for that guy to come out at all, you know it's something pretty significant. And we heard from Kapilovic, the offensive line coach, this week talk about that it's something, it's issues right now for Jaden Roberts that most people just would not play with at all. So you don't have sort of that same punch as you would have with a healthy Jaden Roberts. But, you know, Alabama comes out on the script and looks great on offense, you know. Went for it on the fourth and short from deep in its own end. And I like that. I like that about Kalen. You know, the problem is when you do stuff like that and you call a timeout with 11 seconds left at the end of the second quarter and then you throw a pick, that's when your aggressiveness doesn't necessarily get rewarded. And look, I don't really get it with the field position being what it was. I think Alabama had the ball on its own 38 with 11 seconds. I know South Carolina was getting the ball coming out. I don't know. Maybe that speaks to Kalen's lack of confidence in the defense, but it's going to be hard in 11 seconds to kind of get yourself in any kind of scoring position. Field goal, certainly a touchdown is extremely minimal, the chances of that at that point. And also, though, Jalen at this point in his development, if it's not worth even throwing the football in that spot, unless you're just going to heave it, you know, that type of route there. And that's another thing. When you start putting things on tape, you know, that was a similar route to the interception that went for a pick six against Vanderbilt. So 14-12 at the half. And what was it? Basically two touchdowns or so, or it felt like, in the final 90 seconds there of the second quarter. Yeah. Then the onside kick at the end of the fourth quarter. That was a hell of an onside kick, by the way, by the South Carolina punter. That thing had some wicked side spin on it. Now, I'm sure in a perfect world, if you're the Alabama staff, you don't want not just one tight end, but two tight ends trying to field that, right? If you're an Alabama fan, you're waiting for Ryan Williams to at some point jump into the picture there and jump on that loose football, but it didn't happen. And so then you're in a spot where you're kind of in hold on mode again. You can talk about Jeremy Bernard on the fourth down play or the third down play there that he scored on, you know, to make it a 27-19 game. And he's got to go down in bounds, kill the game if he does that. I get all that. But an 8-point lead and you're the Alabama defense? I mean, come on. And really, South Carolina made it good when the offensive lineman caught the deflected pass with no timeouts. And I'm not making the argument that Jeremy couldn't have ended the game had he fallen down. Kalen was asked about that post-game too. Kalen was asked about what Jack's talking about right here, Damani's pick. Would that have been a safety? I haven't heard definitively. There's not really access to the officiating crews. The officiating crews post-game essentially, I think anyway, this way it used to be, they would get off the field and straight into vans and gone. I think that's the way it used to be. I don't even think they hang around and go to locker rooms. You know, it's kind of like pro wrestling referees back in the day. Get them out of the arena. But no, I don't know, Jack, if it definitively would have been a safety. As I said earlier, when Kalen was asked about it in his news conference post-game, he wasn't either of the belief or had been informed that it likely or could have been a safety, because the point he made, and me watching it in real time, I'm thinking kneel it down in the end zone. I didn't think it was in real time a play where this is going to be a safety if it kneels it down. I thought his momentum of making the play took him into the end zone, but then when I watched it back on replay, you're like, well, looks like he established possession with 2 feet and then went into the end zone and then proceeded to bring it out. So scary all the way around. Sully 462 said he caught it out of the end zone and took it back into the end zone. Yeah, he caught it. He caught it in the field of play. But, you know, there is an aspect to that if your momentum in making the catch takes you into the end zone, I believe anyway, you can still kneel it down for a safety. I thought that in real time, and I think that's what Kalen thought. And again, Kalen's on the field. He doesn't have the view that we have, or if we're watching television or watching from the press box have. But I don't think at that point it would have surprised all that many folks. Second and 26 here. When Milroe does have time, he needs to work on reading the defense. I'm gonna say Jalen, in my opinion, has improved a great deal. You know, that was one thing Kalen was quick to point out post-game. Yes, Jalen wasn't perfect by any means in the game, but that was a progression throw that he made to Jeremy Bernard there for the final touchdown. And so, I think that tells you. I think there's been plenty of other examples of that. Does he make every read? Does he get it right? No. No. No quarterback does, though. I just watched Quinn Ewers, you know, maybe not make the best decisions early in the Oklahoma game, or at least the best throw. So it happens, you know. It's just, boy, there are just times in games, it seems like, when they just can't happen. You know, you got your best unit on the field there in the fourth quarter. You got to finish games. And I'll give Alabama credit. Yes, it was absolutely a gift initially that they got from South Carolina, but they took advantage of it too. So Alabama improves to 5-1 on the season. You know, I thought the injury to Damani Jackson in the first half, when it happened, I thought it was season over, just kind of looking at his reaction and kind of taking him off. And then to see him back out there, I was like, wow. So kudos to him for making a play. He did get beat on the touchdown that was initially called incomplete there in the fourth quarter. That was basically the same play Georgia ran, right? Big receiver and Nick Harbor, who is an absolute beast. And if he split out wide, you got to know what's coming. They're going to throw that go ball or that jump ball, and he's probably going to win a lot of them. And he won the one against Damani. But I thought Jalen Mbakwe, you know, I know questions about did this team continue to regress today. I'm not going to say it regressed offensively. I'm not going to get specific and say it regressed, let's say, at quarterback. I'm just for now going to say we've seen too much good from Jalen in the previous five games to think that, here he comes with the slide. I didn't take that away from today's performance. He did have some opportunities that he didn't hit. We become so accustomed to him and Ryan Williams once a game, you know, hitting for the explosive play. They had an opportunity there, I think, in the first half, and Jalen couldn't hit him. But again, guys who stepped up, Justin Jefferson, I thought, provided some good things. The only thing about Justin in there, especially at one of the inside linebacker positions, is if you get him in coverage, it can be tough. You start running these mesh concepts, and mesh is where you get the crossers in the middle of the field, and you're playing man or you're matching it. That's not necessarily his strength. But what he will bring is some thump to the table. Keon Sabb had 12 tackles defensively. Deontay Lawson with 9. Had 7 tackles for loss, but it felt like when Alabama needed to stack defensive plays, it's still not happening, right? Or it gets the benefit of a penalty. You know, I just feels like I still see offenses in 1st and 20 end up in 3rd and 2, you know? Tim Smith had one of Alabama's sacks in the game. So did Jihad. Jamarian Latham. Jihad forced the fumble on the one. Q and Jordan Renaud. We talked about this last week. Jordan Renaud started playing some more last week. I think we even saw Edrick Hill in there today, kind of early-ish, it felt like anyway. Of course, on the heels of Jaheim Otis hitting the transfer portal. But I thought Mbakwe ended up with, let's see here, 5 tackles, 3 solos. He had one of those tackles for loss. Yep. I thought he showed some real promise, and you kind of expect that. I mean, but look, you know, it's a tough, tough deal right now with these young corners and this inexperience also at the Husky position. I mean, you talk about a drop off from last year. I mean, of course, you got 2 pretty much first round corners that are in the NFL. Just in the last couple of years, the type of players Alabama's had at corner and star before it became the Husky. And again, you're just seeing too much plays after, even on incompletions, right? You're seeing Malachi Moore look at a corner like, that's you. You know, and it happened on the touchdown pass in the first half. You had Zay Mincy in there And I'm going to guess that was zone coverage and he was supposed to keep dropping and he kind of squatted there. You had a post that occupied that safety to that side. So somebody busted it, whether it was A or the safety. It just hasn't been, it hasn't been good enough. You knew it was going to be a struggle perhaps on the back end. But again, this is Lenore Sellers, right? Having his Steven Garcia game there for a little while in a few different ways. So special teams, it wasn't bad in its totality, but again, you got to close out games. And when you got an opportunity on onside kick, and I know the guy kicked an absolute mystifying ball. You know, that thing was hard to get on, but somebody's got to make a play there. James Burnup, solid day, three punts, 47.7. It seems like James, it's a maybe a little bit of a every other game thing. He had a long of 59 today. I thought Cole Adams did some nice things. He was out there to start the game, as I recall, right? Cole was out there, was it 11 personnel to open? Thought it was. And had a couple of nice catches. You know, when it came to explosive plays for the offense on Saturday, it was more Jeremy Bernard. And then you got, you know, two catches for 57 yards for Cole Adams, but the ball didn't get spread around as much. Now, you lost a C.J. Dupree explosive to penalties, to a penalty, I think it was. You know, the penalties on paper don't look that bad. I mean, they're not great. I think it was 7 for 66 or something like that. But, man, it just seems like with this team, when they get hit, they absolutely get hit. You tell me, Dexter. I've been talking about it, you know. Disjointed, I guess, a good way to describe it. This is a team that provides enough splash to make you think, oh, yeah, this can be still a college football playoff team, especially going into the 12-team era. But there are gaps, man. And then there are just outright breathtaking examples of breakdowns or poor fundamental play that make you think this could end up being an 8-4 team. It feels like that to me. We're halfway through the regular season. You look at the record at 5-1 and think, well, if that was going to happen, that was going to be Georgia. No way in hell you would have thought that was going to be Vanderbilt with that as the one loss. So it just kind of speaks to what this team is volatile. Volatile is maybe the best way to describe this team. It's play to play, man. Right now, you can't get too far ahead with this team because it can be defensively, it can be 1st and 20. You're thinking, oh, yeah, go get off the field here. Next snap, it's 2nd and 2. You know, and the takeaways are nice. Don't get me wrong, but possession plays, and I know, as Kalen said, 5 of those were on one possession. The rest of the game was pretty good. As I told you, 5-on-1 drive is basically 2 games for South Carolina. They came in here 30%. And, you know, that's not going to work. Patrick Trotter says, Bama is such a soft team. The offensive coordinator, I don't get that about Nick Sheridan as much. Now, you can talk about the time management all you want on offense and sort of the borderline catastrophic mistakes today on offense. But prior to today, I wouldn't have felt that way really about the offense. I know everybody wants Derrick Henry, 2015, 395 carries for 2,200 yards. That's not the way this team is built. That's not the way these backs are built to me. Justice Haynes, Jam Miller are really, really good backs. And I think paired, they're good together. Are either of those guys, or together are those guys, to me, you know, 25, 30 carry a backs? And I don't want Kalen DeBoer to try to be something he isn't. Guy's won a lot of games doing it the way he does it. Does that mean, is it a guarantee that he's going to win a lot of games at Alabama the way he does it? No. No. But the best way he knows how to do it is the way he does it on offense. Donald Andrews chiming in here. Bama not a good team right now. They can't get out of their own way. There are serious issues with this team and no way around it. Well, it was a noisy week. It was a noisy week, no doubt, in Tuscaloosa. And I'm not gonna diminish this win too much, by the way. And I'm not going to try to oversell you South Carolina, because one of the great things about doing what I've done for the last 20 plus years is that I feel like I'm talking with the smartest fan base in college sports for the most part. Not talking about you, Donald. You're obviously a very smart man. Look, every fan base has got moronic behavior in some corners, and then there's just straight up trolls. But what I like about what I've really enjoyed about doing what I've done with you folks is that I can't BS you. Typically, yeah, again, there's going to be the overreaction. Either way, when things are really good, you're going to have some yahoos that are going to think Alabama can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And then when things aren't so good, you're going to think, well, this Alabama team can't beat County High. It's typically the truth somewhere in the middle, right? But I will tell you, this is a South Carolina team, should have beat LSU at home. Has a couple of inexplicable performances. Ole Miss last week certainly wasn't. I will say this. I think South Carolina responded better to that loss than Alabama did, perhaps, to Vanderbilt. So I guess you give Shane Beamer some credit for that. I thought they were the more physical team for the most part. And I thought that showed up in game. Again, I don't care if these running backs get 50 carries a game, but situationally, and you can tell me, well, it's a byproduct of not being run-oriented enough with your backs. Okay. But situationally, my answer to that is, if I'm not getting enough touches, I'm going to be hell to deal with in four-minute offense. I'm not getting tripped up. I'm not getting out of bounds. I'm going to run through people and go get the yards I got to get when I can get them. And maybe it was because it was a physical game today. I don't know. But Alabama offensively did not have that look late in the game when it was time to run the football and tried to run the football and didn't really have that sort of punch to it. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, gosh. Oh, Chris. Oh, man. The pass rush thing to me is interesting with guys like Sellers today. And then also Diego last week, because how do you approach guys like that? Do you sit back? Do you mush rush them and then make them make throws against coverage? As I've talked about, Lenore Sellers is a sub 60% passer. But Alabama will rush just four, but it won't mush rush. Like, it'll bring a pass rush. And I think that kind of helps a guy like Sellers. If he knows he can break containment. Alabama loses leverage on quarterbacks so much, it seems like, in the pass rush, right? Outside guys crash inside, they run twist, and the twist has a 330-pound nose tackle twisting to the outside. It's not gonna be able to maintain leverage on a quarterback that can move. It just seems like quarterbacks just ease out to the perimeter and extend plays. It's not like they even have to step up in the pocket. And then there's part of me sometimes that's thinking, against a guy like Sellers, and this goes back on the back end too, because I talked about this earlier. I think that's where it shows up too. you're not nearly as good on the back end as you've been. And again, I think you anticipated that. Like, you could must rush guys when you had some guys like Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, Brian Branch back there, because you could make some plays in coverage, make enough plays in coverage. You're not really, really doing that right now on either end. You're not good enough in your pass rush and you can't cover well enough, or your coverages aren't the right coverages, or they're not being executed correctly, you know? And so you got the kind of two-way miss going when that happens with your pass rush. Late in the game today, I was thinking, just bring five and see if Sellers can hit it. Now, you do that, and then you end up with a guy like Harbor and man coverage on the outside, and he makes a play against you. But by the end of the game Saturday, I was thinking, whatever you got to do to make Sellers get the ball out quick, he doesn't handle that well. And that's kind of what the two-point play came down to. Q was able to get the early pressure there on that play. And, you know, and the thing about pass rush, too, is in the way you play defense, again, stuff goes on tape. What'd you see today? What'd you see today? See another shovel pass today? And guess what you're going to see next week? You got all those eyes looking at the quarterback and going with the quarterback. Guess what's going to come next week again, too, to check your eyes out. And I'm not saying everyone on that defense is supposed to have their eyes on the quarterback, but until the people who aren't have their eyes where they're supposed to be, if in fact that's the case, you're going to see more. You're going to see, boy, teams just rip it off. Just like the interception Jalen threw right before the half, trying to fit it in there to Ryan Williams on, you know, kind of a 10-yard hook with 11 seconds left in the half. There was no reward for that. And on top of that, it looked like South Carolina said, well, we've seen this before. So that's not just on Jalen. That's recognizing your tendencies and recognizing that you're being recognized. So, oh, man. No serfdom checks in here. What Bama is inconsistent and undisciplined, and both of those are due to poor coaching. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat Tennessee. They've got the talent, but they're inconsistent. And I feel exactly the same way in terms of Tennessee. Now, it's hard to argue. I talked about it earlier. There is enough splash, right, to keep you believing. You know, there's enough splash plays to make you think, yeah, this can be that team ultimately. But boy, in between the splash plays, who the heck knows what's going to happen? And even if some of that goes back to things you may not agree with in terms of approach or concepts, fundamentally, at times, this team's bad. And I've got grace for the younger players, because they're some of these guys are being forced into some tough situations, or they're being expedited onto the field, right? And so you're going to get some of that with some of those guys. But you've got some older guys today that it wasn't what it needs to be, for sure. Yeah, Donald, I think we all agree on that. That was a brutal final 6 minutes. When you're up 14 to nothing, And I understand part of it is Damani goes out, but it's just continuously fascinating how sort of random guys showing up in the secondary are. I think Zay Mincy's going to be, or can be. I think Zay Mincy can be a really good player in the secondary. I don't know if it's corner. I don't know if it's safety. I don't know if it's, you know, Husky. But, and we've seen him throughout the season, but yeah, he's in the game there and it's like, wow. And you know who else knew? I think a young corner who hadn't played a whole lot was in the game in that particular situation. South Carolina staff. Oh man. Let's see. What else do we have here? Let's see. Yeah, there's more of the didn't commit to the run. I don't know. They came out trying to run the football. It almost, to me, it actually felt like DeBoer was almost forcing the backs early. Ran it, threw it to him, tried to get him going, and actually did some nice things. Ran the football pretty well. You know, but at the end of the day, you got to score points. And in the middle of the second quarter, it's a 7-0 game. And with Kalen DeBoer, there's not going to be many 10 sevens. You know, not going to be many 10 sevens. He's going to stay aggressive and look to score points. Dexter says he'd like to see King Mac more. Or the Mac King. How about that? He shows up on special teams. I'll say that. Again, I'm not privy to everything that happens during the week, but it's wild how many DBs have already played big minutes for Alabama. And then if they make a mistake, you may not see some of them for a while again. But they got the shot today. Yeah. I'm maybe I wouldn't say I'm surprised. And DeVonta Smith made a nice play today on the fourth down. So, or the third, one of those, right? I'm not down on him, but again, man, when you go from some of these cats Alabama's had the last decade, you're having to live with some things with the youth. Zabian's going to be really, really good. Already is in a lot of ways. I thought Mbakwe today, as I said earlier, I thought Mbakwe was a real bright spot. But yeah, if you would have told me that they were having issues 6 games into the season and I wasn't seeing like King Mac and or Deshaun Jones, I know we saw Deshaun some today. I mean, isn't that kind of why you went to the portal? You kind of went to the portal, didn't you? So you wouldn't bust like you did on the touchdown pass? Okay. Yeah, whether you like it or not, I mean, I think Jalen's got to be involved in the run game. I loved it late when they ran him in the red zone. Keep running him. I think that's the as good as their run game's going to be. Is with Jalen getting 10 to 15 carries a game, so or more. So if you're waiting on that to change, I don't think it's going to change. I don't think it should change. It's a good point by C Dial here about, you know, guys that when you're wondering about the physicality of a team and you lose them and it's at a position like receiver and you don't really think about what they bring. That's Kendrick Law. And haven't had him for a couple weeks. More so, again, I'd say certainly he can do some things tangibly, but intangibly, he brings some serious edge to the football team. You know, it's not just the offense either. So there you go. Alabama survives South Carolina. One win away from bowl eligibility, you guys. You got to start looking at the positives, the silver linings, you know. Can't be negative. And I gave credit to South Carolina. I know a lot of you don't want to do that, and I get it. This is a Alabama show. So, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about South Carolina as much, but you know, we'll see. We like to think too that stuff like this never happened under Nick Saban, but there were some stinkers that Alabama hung on to win maybe about this time of the season. And then those teams went on to pretty much fulfill their potential. You know, 2014 is one that comes to mind pretty quickly. Went to Arkansas, won by a point. Everybody dogged that team after that game. And Nick made it a point that following Monday to rip everybody that was ripping the team. And it worked. That was a J.K. Scott game. If it wasn't for J.K. Scott, Alabama doesn't win that game in 2014. But there were some core tenets that had been well established in that program that even if you didn't like the performance, and by the way, it still came in a win. We're not talking about that kind of performance in a loss like last week. But, you know, that team went on to achieve the number one ranking, the number one seed in the first ever four-team college football playoff. I'm not saying that this team is destined for that same type of approach, but as I recall, that game, even the Ole Miss loss that year was about the same time as like the Vanderbilt loss. So still a lot of football to play, a lot of football, and still plenty of talent on this team to get to where it wants to go. But the gaps right now, the gaps are wider than they've ever been with Alabama football in a long time. Got to shrink those gaps. We know what this team can do in terms of explosive plays and even perhaps flash on defense. Take the ball away, which it did a nice job of against South Carolina. But this was also the kind of game that if Diego Pavia is playing quarterback for South Carolina and knowing that Sellers had a good game, but think about the plays. Think about the plays that Sellers had that he didn't make that Pavia made last week. You know, Dexter's asking me, Trav, do you think Jihad is playing hurt? If he is, man, they're stretching him because he's not just playing inside, Dex. I mean, they played him on the edge today too. So I think Jihad Campbell is going to be one of these guys that as good of a college player as he is, and I think he's a really, 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 really good college player, I think he'll probably be a better pro just because of how the pro game is played and what you're asked to do. Think about Henry Toa Toa right now. Have you watched him lately for the Texans? And I always said that about Henry. I'm like, what Alabama needed from Henry in college didn't match up as well with what the NFL was going to want from him. And he's doing some good stuff for Miko right now in Houston. But I think Jihad Campbell as a pro linebacker is going to be really, really good player. And I think he's a really good player right now. I think there are times where if you ask him on third and goal from the two to take on a 230-pound back in the A-gap, he's probably not going to stone him. But he's also going to give you the ability to rob with your safety in the middle of the field because this dude can run with tight ends or slot receivers, you know? So, no, he's a really, really good player. I don't know if he's hurt, but that's again why I like Justin Jefferson though in there. As Joe Kynes once said, he doesn't always know heel from sickum, but if he's where he needs to be, there's probably not going to be a lot after contact. And if you want to talk about a guy who's probably not 100% right now, it's probably just Justin Jefferson. So look, you just gotta. You got to take the win. You got to try to learn from some things. And then you got to take it to Rocky Top next week. Get a win over Tennessee on the road. Everything going to be all right, right? Yep. Hey, as always, appreciate you folks checking in with us here on Ryer on YouTube. That's my two cents. I love hearing yours as well. If you haven't subscribed to the Ryer on YouTube channel, I hope you'll go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. And also hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to our content as it drops here on this here channel, right on YouTube. And if you'd also give us a thumbs up, we would appreciate that as well. You folks, take care of yourself. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll rejoin right here on the channel very, very soon. Thank you. Good night.